Hot Cars. General Motors and their dealer organization throughout Southern Africa proudly bring you the drama, the danger, the thrills, and the facts when the long arm of the law travels in squad cars. The story you're about to hear is true. Details are supplied from the official case files by the South African police. Only names and places have been changed to protect innocent people involved.
AM on the 28th of October, Market Street, Johannesburg. Mr. and Mrs. Harold Freer, having left a nightclub in the vicinity, are walking east to where their car is parked.
There's that fishing reel I wanted to show you in that shop along here.
What do you want another fishing reel for?
Because it's bigger and better.
And more expensive, I'll bet.
I don't know about that. There's no price on it.
Oh, never mind. Come on.
Oh, wait a minute. Look, there's somebody inside there. They must be stock-taking. I'll ask him.
Harold, I'm losing my patience.
Excuse me. How much is the fishing reel there? The one on the stand.
He can't be bothered with you. They're busy.
That's for sure. Do you know what I think?
What?
They're pinching stuff.
AM. Mrs. Freer is of the opinion that her husband is under the influence of alcohol. Impatiently, she turns to go.
I'm sick and tired of this. I want to go home to bed.
No, they're pinching stuff, I tell you. Look at them.
Harold, they must be stock-taking. Now, will you come away?
Just a minute. Hold on.
I say, you in there.
Good heavens. They're taking no notice. I've never seen anything so brazen in my life.
Harold, so what if they are burglars? What do you think you're going to do about it?
I'll show you. Oh, the door's locked. They must have gone in the back.
Come on, Sherlock Holmes. Leave it alone. Mind your own business.
Oh, dear. They've got guns.
That settles it. Will you come away now?
No. There must be a watchman somewhere,
aren't there? It's not our concern, Harold.
Oh, that's typical of you, isn't it? Well, I'm going down to that hotel and call the police. If you want to stay here, you can. I want to report a burglary.
Yes, sir.
It's in Market Street, Winkleman's Hunting and Fishing Shop. They're inside. Looks like they're pinching guns.
How many?
I saw two in the shop.
What's your name, please?
Freer, F-R-E-R-E, Harold Freer.
And where are you calling from?
The Grantham Hotel, at reception here.
Very good, sir. We'll send a car right away.
Look, don't send it to the front. It's all locked up there. They must have gone in the back.
All right, sir. We'll attend to it. Good night.
DJ 593742, a white Savannah.
No. Hey, what about the one on the corner there?
DJ 439962, a Delta.
Nope.
Control to car 15, control to car 15. Come in, 15. Over.
That's us, Sarge.
Receiving you, control. Over.
Where are you now, 15? Over.
A corner of Fox and Moy Streets, proceeding west. Over.
Complaint for you. Report of a robbery taking place at Winkleman's, the arms and ammunition people in Market Street. The thieves are said to be on the premises, two Europeans. They have arms at their disposal. It is recommended that you go in the back. I'll send another car to cover the front.
Devil's the back. Can't be in Commissioner Street.
Must be through the passage somewhere, Sarge.
Well, it's not here in Market Street.
Can't be in Eloff.
Well, let's try around the corner into Von Brandis. Hold it. Hey, that must be their car. The one with the doors open. We'll leave the car here.
Okay.
Don't bang the doors.
All right, Sarge.
Hey, that's the passageway there, next to the furniture shop. Don't kick the dustbins on the way in.
Okay, I'll watch it, Sarge.
They must be bringing other stuff out of the car. Oh, they're in for a big surprise, eh?
Yeah, I reckon so. Hey, what was that, Sarge?
Hey, something ahead. Sounded like... maybe like a door that sticks open.
Can you see anything there?
It's too dark, and I don't want to use the torch. Hey, careful here. Here's a dustbin.
Yeah, I can feel it, yeah.
Hang on. Open door. This must be it. Yes, there's a light through there.
What now, Sarge?
I'll go in. You wait out there. Cover the door.
Okay.
Good idea. In you go, Sarge. Hey, just a minute, you.
And I've got plans for you, too.
Ah! Open this door.
Oh, Manny, he's got me.
You stupid idiot.
He's not dead. The copper.
Right. I'll fix him.
Manny, don't leave me.
Every cop in the district will be here just now.
Don't leave me.
Man, you hurt bad. Now look after you. Take you to the hospital.
If they see me to jail, I'll carry the can.
Oh, I'll make it up to you. Don't worry.
Please, man, take me. I won't be in any trouble.
No, it's best this way.
What's happening?
Oh, shut up, you.
Manny.
I'll be seeing you. You're squealing, I'll fix you. If it takes me all my life, I'll fix you.
No, Manny.
Open the door.
Banging stops as Sergeant Baxter listens for what's going on outside. Some distance away, he hears a car start up and drive away. Then there's nothing. So the sergeant puts his shoulder to the door. But the door's too solid. In the light of his torch, the sergeant shatters the lock with three well-placed shots from his revolver. The door swings open. The sergeant flashes his torch, and on the ground he sees the still body of Constable LaRue. Lying not very far away is a man in great pain. He's been shot in the stomach.
Left you in the lurch, did they?
Please. It's agony.
And what about my crew? He's dead, and I should feel sorry for you.
Please. Please, man. Hospital.
Remembering that control said they would send a car to cover the front of Winkleman's, Sergeant Baxter walks round into Market Street to find colleagues of his in a squad car. They put the injured man in Sergeant Baxter's car while he reports to control about what has happened.
The car they were loading the stuff into was a cream Santa Fe, 65 model. I remember the last numbers of the registration, 697. It was a T-Day number. Over.
Message for all cars. Control to all cars. Be on the lookout for a cream Santa Fe 1965 model TJ number plates. Lost three figures of the number 697. The occupants are armed and dangerous. They are wanted in connection with a robbery and the murder of Constable LaRue. End of message. Over and out. Control to car 15. Anything else, 15? Over.
Yes, I'm taking the wounded man to casualty. I'll stay with him. Over.
All right, Sergeant. Tell the crew of Car 5 that they're to stay at Winkleman's until they're relieved by Murder Squad staff. Have you received me, number 15?
...2:35 a.m. Having been hauled from his bed, Lieutenant Dirk Labaskachny, along with a police photographer and Detective Sergeant Smithers, arrives in the narrow passageway leading to the back of Winkleman's.
Good morning, sir. Warrant Officer Grayling.
Ah, Mr. Grayling. You and your crew can go.
Thank you, sir.
Sergeant.
Sir.
Try and find a light inside. Torches are totally inadequate out here.
Yes, sir.
And, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
You'd best rummage around inside for the home number of the owner or the manager.
Right, sir.
Is that you, Dirk?
Who's that?
Dr. Watson, District Sergeant.
Oh, good morning, Doctor.
Oh, shine a light here, will you, please? I'm going to break my neck.
Oh, hang on a sec. There you are.
Thanks. One of your men shot her here.
Squad car man.
Where is he?
At your feet, Doc. There.
Poor devil. How did he cut this lot?
They were ambushed by thieves. That's how I've got the story, anyway. There was a sergeant with him. They pushed the sergeant inside and locked the door. And this little chap was, they shut him down where he was.
Bad business.
Ah, light.
Thanks, Sergeant.
Right, sir. I'll get on with looking for that number.
Okay. I reckon your visit's a formality, Doctor.
You don't need a medical degree to see he's been shot dead. Let's have a look here. One in the hip. One in the lower neck on the left-hand side. Another in the diaphragm. And this is the one that killed him, heart shot. Take any pictures?
Not yet. We arrived just before you did, sir.
Okay, get what you want and I'll arrange to have him taken to the government mortuary.
His parents left, to be informed.
Only a baby. Couldn't have been out of police college long.
Doesn't look like it, does it?
Well, what were the thieves after?
I don't know, Doctor. But whatever it was, doesn't justify killing a man. Fools. They started the night as thieves, and they wound up murderers. We'll catch them, and they'll swing.
Soon after the body of Constable LaRue has been taken away, the manager of Winkleman's arrives.
Which of you is Lieutenant Lovis Cockney?
That's me.
Good morning, Friedman, the manager here.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Friedman?
Well, now, what's been going on?
Theft and murder. Mm-hmm. I'd like you to tell me what's missing.
Well, that may take a little time.
Oh, there's no hurry.
All right, I'll get it down right away.
Good. Check everything for fingerprints.
All right, sir.
And that includes the back door.
I've checked the stock against our records, and there are 65 firearms of different kinds missing. Now, they range from gas pistols to a magnum rifle.
That's quite a haul. Anything else, Mr. Freeman?
There's about 13,000 rounds of ammunition.
I wonder, could you give me a complete inventory of what was taken?
Well, it'll take a little time to compile.
That's all right. I'm going up to the hospital. There's nothing I can do here at the moment.
Lieutenant Labuschagne drives up to the hospital. He has no difficulty in finding Sergeant Baxter in casualty.
Oh, good morning, sir.
Oh, good morning. And how's the patient?
They've given him a painkiller.
Haven't operated on him yet?
No, sir.
Why not?
Well, you can see how busy they are, sir. There just aren't the facilities available at the moment.
Is he able to talk?
Yes, sir.
Right. Let's have a look at him.
This way, sir. He's on a trolley in one of these cubicles.
Looks as though they're at their busiest on weekends. Same as us.
Here he is, sir.
Has he said anything to you?
No. Thinks he's a tough cookie.
Strong, silent man, eh? So, how are you feeling?
The same as you'd feel with a bullet in your guts.
Don't expect any sympathy from me. One of our men died.
So the sergeant was telling me.
What's your name?
Fred Merck.
Comedian, eh? What's there to act tough about?
I don't like coughs. I'm allergic to them.
I see the way things are. Who are your pals?
Find out.
They've left you holding the dirty end of the stick, eh?
They look after me.
I only heard two voices, sir. This bloke and the other one.
Is that right? Just the two of you?
I'm saying nothing.
All right. I'll leave you in Sergeant Baxter's care. We'll stay with him, Sergeant. If he decides to talk, I'll be down at the shop in Market Street.
Right, sir.
Well, Sergeant Smithers, what have you got for me?
Don't know yet, sir. Plenty of fingerprints. But it's my guess that most of them belong to Mr. Friedman and his staff. Won't know until they've all been fingerprinted when they come to work.
Anything else?
No, not so far, sir.
Well, keep looking. I'll come and help you presently.
Very good, sir. Lieutenant.
Oh, yes, Mr. Friedman.
It's that list you wanted.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. Now, how much is this little lot worth?
Well, at a rough guess, I'd say getting on for 4,000 rand. But, of course, they'll fetch much more than at black market prices.
Where were the weapons kept?
Over this way, here.
Oh, yes, I see. Sort of strong room. But, Mr. Friedman, how did they get in there?
Well, they obviously had a key.
Obviously. And who keeps the key?
Well, Mr. Michaels during the day, and then when we close up, I have it, along with all the other keys.
Now, if I was a customer of yours, I wouldn't be able to see the strong room, would I?
Well, I'm afraid I don't quite follow you, Lieutenant.
If I came into buying something and stood at the counter to be served, I wouldn't be aware of a strong room, would I?
Oh, I see. No, I don't think you would.
And, Mr. Freeman, if I was a customer, I wouldn't have access to the keys of the strongroom.
So you think a member of my staff is involved?
Well, I didn't say that, but things seem to point in that direction. How many people on your staff, Mr. Freeman?
There were eight of us and three non-Europeans.
Is the strongroom open all day?
Yes.
And what does Mr. Michaels do with the keys when he's opened the strongroom for the day?
Well, I suppose they're left hanging in the lock.
Ah, so any member of your staff would have access to the keys?
I suppose so, yes.
So it would be a comparatively simple matter for someone to take an impression of the key or make a drawing of it?
Yes.
And then someone would have to make those keys. Locksmith, perhaps. The key in the lock, is it yours?
No. Mine's with this lot here.
That was foolish of them to leave the key behind. And the back door, that wasn't broken open. They must have had a key for that, too.
Lieutenant, I can't understand how it is that the burglar alarm didn't go off.
Oh, there are ways of fixing these things if you know how. I'm afraid, Mr. Friedman, that everything points to some member of your staff being involved.
That's not a very nice thought.
Well, we'll see what daylight brings. Sergeant.
Sir.
Has the photographer gone?
No, sir.
Ah, good. Tell him that I want a photograph of the injured man at the hospital, along with photographs of every member of Mr. Friedman's staff.
Very good, sir. Including Mr. Friedman?
Including Mr. Friedman.
The photographs of the shop staff are taken as soon as they arrive to start the day's work. And along with the photograph taken at the hospital of the man with the bullet wound, they're developed in a dark room at police headquarters. The finished prints are given to Lieutenant Labuschagne and Detective Sergeant Smithers.
Now, let's try and put ourselves in the position of one of the staff members from the shop. If the key was borrowed, it would be during working hours and would have to be put back again as soon as possible, before anybody missed it.
Then whoever did it wouldn't want to go far, would
they? That's right. You go to the nearest place to have the job done. Well, I reckon we'll find it's this one in Commissioner Street here. We'll soon see. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Can I help you?
Well, I'm hoping so. Police.
Oh, what's the trouble?
These keys.
Yeah?
Do you make keys like this?
Yeah.
Did you make these two?
Let me see them. Yes.
How do you know?
It's a bit like asking a farmer how he knows his cows.
I see. Do you remember making them?
No, I do a lot of work, people in and out here all the time.
I understand. How's your memory for faces?
Not bad. Why?
I wanted to look at these photographs. Sergeant, please.
Here you are, sir.
Now, if you recognize any of these 12 people, I want you to tell me.
All right, let's have a look. Not this one. Wait a minute.
The woman?
I think so. Let me see the others first. No. Yeah, the woman's been in here. They've got a very nice figure, if I remember rightly.
Do you cut keys while people wait?
Sometimes, if it's urgent.
I see. Right. Thank you. You've been a great job.
What's it all about?
It looks as though you'll be giving evidence at a murder trial. Mr. Friedman, what's your cashier's name?
Mrs. Fairchild.
How long has she worked for you?
Is it her?
Looks as though she's mixed up in it.
Well, I'm blessed. She's worked here for, let me see, must be 3 years now.
You've never had trouble with her before?
Never. She's been 100% reliable, trustworthy.
Have you noticed anything odd in her behavior lately?
No, I can't say I have, except that she's been a bit off color lately. Sort of quiet, not herself.
Mm-hmm. Did you speak to her about it?
No, I presumed she was, had a cold.
Yeah, I see. Mr. Friedman, what sort of people does she associate with?
I don't know. Know nothing of her private life at all, except that she's divorced. But what do you want me to do?
Nothing yet.
Mr. Friedman?
Yes.
A phone call for Lieutenant Labuschagne.
Right, we'll take it here. Hello?
Lieutenant?
Just hold on a moment.
Thank you.
Sergeant Baxter here, sir. The prisoner at the hospital's regained consciousness after his op.
You're still there?
Yes, sir.
Well, I must arrange for you to be relieved.
Oh, that's all right, sir.
Is he able to talk?
Yes, sir. I don't know whether he will or not, though. But there's something I think you should know. I was with him all the time, sir. And when he was coming round, he kept calling for somebody called Manny.
Oh, good. Anything else?
Yes, sir. He kept saying, don't leave me. Manny, don't leave me.
Oh, this is excellent. Good work, Sergeant.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I'll have somebody sent up to take your place, sir. Then you can go home and get some sleep.
Well, thank you, sir. I'd welcome that.
Thank you, Sergeant.
Very good, sir.
Good news, sir?
Yes, I think we've stumbled across the name of one of the men involved.
Now, what are you going to do about Mrs. Fairchild?
Well, I'm not going to do anything except have her watched. Fix it, Sergeant. And arrange for someone to take Sergeant Baxter's place at the hospital.
Right, sir.
Arrangements are made there and then for Mrs. Fairchild to be kept under surveillance. The wounded man at the hospital refuses to answer any questions that are put to him. After 3 days, Lieutenant Labuschagne speaks to the police officers who've been keeping tabs on the cashier at Winkleman's.
So?
She's gone straight home every night.
Mm-hmm. Where does she live?
In Eaton Road, Parktown, number 43.
Divorced woman living alone in a house?
It's half a house, sir. She lives in one side and some other people live in the other.
Oh, I see. Have you watched the house at all?
We watched it long enough to make notes of the tradespeople who call there.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me see. Thank you. Dairy. Butcher, yeah. And what's this?
Horse meat, sir. She's got dogs.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it might be worthwhile talking to the butcher.
Yes, he's been a customer of mine for nearly 3 years. Pays regularly, never any trouble.
Yes, and what's her bill every month?
Oh, it's been quite modest. I supply her with butter, eggs, bacon and cheese as well.
Same order every week?
Yeah, but until recently.
Recently, meaning?
She must have someone staying with her. She's ordered stuff lately that she's never had before. Kidneys, liver, veal, and enough chops for two.
Oh, I was hoping you'd say that. Thank you very, very much. You've been a great help.
You're welcome, but I can't see how.
Thank you.
And now, sir?
Sounds as though he's at the house. I think we'll meet Mrs. Fairchild on her way home from work tonight.
That's her now, sir.
Right. Flag her down. Good evening, Mrs. Fairchild. You probably remember me from the shop.
No, I can't say that I...
Lieutenant Labuschagne, police.
Oh, what seems to be the trouble?
Well, I think the time has come for us to stop beating about the bush. We know that you have a guest.
Well, that's no crime. I'm a divorcee, an entirely free agent.
Is his name Manny, by any chance?
What's all this about?
Murder's a very serious business, Mrs. Fairchild. So is harboring a criminal.
Well, I don't know where you get your information.
There are ways and means, Mrs. Fairchild. We'll ride the rest of the way with you, I think. Move over, Mrs. Fairchild. I'll drive.
Containing Mrs. Fairchild and the two police officers is driven into the grounds of number 43 Eaton Road.
The garage there, Mrs. Fairchild?
Yes.
The green Santa Fe. Manny's car?
Yes.
Last three figures, 697. That's it, all right, sir.
Libby?
Is that him?
Yes.
Answer him. Tell him to come into the garage. You've got parcels to carry.
Is that you, Libby?
Yes. Can't you come give me a hand?
What's the matter?
Oh, God, Mrs. Fairchild, just take it easy.
Are you a light, where have you been?
She was giving us a lift.
What?
Let's have nothing fancy. Keep your hands well away from your body. Otherwise, I might get nervous with this pistol.
David Mannheim was arrested without difficulty. When the premises at number 43 Eaton Road were searched, all the missing firearms and ammunition were discovered in a room of the house. Mannheim had been busily engaged filing the serial numbers off the weapons. He was a blanket salesman, due to go on an extensive trip in the Transkei. During previous visits, he'd discovered that guns were a very saleable commodity, fetching exorbitant prices. It had been his intention to hide the deadly load among his legitimate merchandise. Mannheim's accomplice, a man called Peter Tablanche, was sentenced to 5 years in prison for his part of the crime. Mrs. Fairchild became a state witness, and she was sentenced to 18 months imprisonment, suspended for 3 years. Mannheim was convicted of murder and duly hanged at Pretoria Central Prison.
They prowl the empty streets at night, waiting, in fast cars, on foot, living with crime and violence. These men are on duty 24 hours out of every 24. They face dangers at every turn, expecting nothing less. They protect the people of South Africa. These are the men of squad cars. Listen again next Friday evening to another authentic story in our dramatic South African police series, Squad Cars, brought to you by General Motors, makers of the biggest and most exciting range of cars, trucks, and commercial vehicles in the world. Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Beaumont, Chevrolet, Opel, Holden, Vauxhall, Bedford, GMC, and Ranger, South Africa's own car.